2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
8 o'clock, time for the KSL In-Depth Hour on the biggest stories of the day. Brought to you on the KSL News Radio app by Any Hour Services, KSL FM Midvale, KSL Salt Lake City. KSL News Radio presents the In-Depth Hour, starting now.
It is 8 o'clock, the hour we go more in depth on the biggest stories of the day. Good morning, I'm Tim Hughes.
And I'm Amanda Dixon. Should Americans be wearing face masks in public? And why is the U of U getting an urgent grant to study mucus?
The coronavirus, a special hour on Utah's Morning News.
The Washington Post reports this morning that the CDC is considering a recommendation for all Americans to wear masks in public in order to help stop the spread of COVID-19.
No final decision has been made, but if it happens, George Washington University Dr. James Phillips says yes, masks could help, but...
Will they help keep you from getting the disease? The answer is no. What happens, the way you get the disease is by inhaling particles that are like 5 microns in size, very, 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 very small, that would go through any silk scarf or cloth mask. But if you yourself are sick, even if you don't know it, and those are the ones we're the most worried about, by coughing into or breathing into a scarf or a cloth mask, you're preventing those droplets from getting out into the air around you, and that keeps someone else from inhaling it. Just like coughing in or sneezing into your elbow. It's the same concept. It's acting as a shield. So in that case, if I walked out and I saw people wearing scarves around their faces everywhere they go, I'd be a very happy doctor.
One of the concerns from medical professionals is that if everyone starts wearing masks, then people might not take social distancing recommendations as seriously.
Looks like that curve is climbing on COVID-19 deaths. KSL's top national stories now. Sean Michael Lyle, live at the KSL National News Desk.
Well, Tim, COVID-19 took the lives of a new figure here, 575 Americans yesterday, the worst toll yet, pushing U.S. deaths to more than 3,100. Dr. Tony Fauci says laboratories are developing medications.
We hope one or more of them will be available.
Total confirmed infections in the U.S., 165,000. Europe's highly regarded healthcare system not holding up to the coronavirus pandemic. Death rates are extremely high in Italy, with more than 10% mortality among those sick in Spain. Not much better. Germany's the exception, just a 1% death rate. Florida's governor doesn't want passengers from Holland America's cruise ship Zaandam to disembark. 4 people on board died of COVID-19.
We think it's a mistake to be putting people into southern Florida right now, given what we're dealing with.
Governor DeSantis prefers sending healthcare workers onto the ship once it arrives in Fort Lauderdale. Coronavirus coverage every 30 minutes on KSL News Radio. And workers walked out at an Amazon warehouse in New York after several employees tested positive. Organizer Chris Smalls tells CNBC the company's not following CDC guidelines.
It cost me my job, but I don't want to work for a company that doesn't take care of their people.
Amazon says the job action is unfounded and Smalls was fired for violating social distancing rules. Live at the KSL National News Desk, Sean Michael Lyle, KSL News Radio.
All right, I'm looking forward to this conversation. Researchers at the University of Utah are getting an urgent grant from the National Science Foundation to study, of all things, mucus. As COVID-19 continues to spread, we need to know exactly how it spreads and why some people are known as super spreaders.
Dr. Jessica Kramer is an assistant professor of biomedical engineering at the U of U, and she joins us live to talk about her research into mucus. What do you hope to learn from this study, doctor?
Good morning. So when people cough or sneeze, they expel mucus containing fluids into the air, and the virus can travel this way. So that's why we're all distancing or wearing masks. And so these airborne droplets can be landing on a hard surface or land directly on another person on their mucus membranes. And so mucus is at the center of the story. And so, as you mentioned, not everybody spreads diseases at the same rate. Some people are much more likely than others to spread diseases to those around them, which is the super spreader phenomenon. Actually, only 20% of individuals are thought to contribute to 80% of new transmissions, and it's not simply poor hygiene. And we also know not everybody that gets exposed to the virus contracts the disease. And so our new grant is to study how different qualities of mucus may explain these phenomenon.
I can't imagine another time in our lives when we would be more excited to learn about mucus, Jessica. But you've obviously done some research here about super spreaders. So what can you tell us about the characteristics of people that actually have that ability, I guess is the way to put it?
Well, it's actually not very well understood. We know it's not simply poor hygiene. And so there is something different about the biology of these people. And one of the explanations may be their mucus. We actually do not all have the same mucus. There are hundreds of different forms of these proteins that make up mucus, and they're different between different people. And the coronavirus has surface proteins that can bind directly to our mucus, but only some forms. So the coronavirus might actually be able to bind to the mucus of some people, but not others. And so my lab is going to study how these different mucus types affect the viability of the virus as it travels in air, how long it might last on surfaces, or as it hits the mucus membrane of the next victim. So we hope that we can use this information that we can, you know, stop the virus from spreading by quarantining those people that spread it at higher rates and maybe come up with a method to block the virus from binding to mucus in the first place.
One of my questions, Doctor, is it my genetics that would make me a super spreader, or is it in some ways my lifestyle? I mean, if I eat a lot of sugar, do I tend to be a super spreader? If I smoke, do I tend to be a super spreader? And I'm not dissing on those people. I mean, if I eat a lot of carrots, do I tend to be a super spreader? I don't know.
Yes, that's a really good question. There is a lot of factors that go into the quality of our mucus and what carries the virus in the air. And some of this is genetics. But some of this can also be the diet and factors that cause irritation in the lungs, like smoking, that will change the quality and quantity of your mucus.
All right, but when you say quality, you're not talking about a good thing, right, when it comes to mucus?
No, I mean the molecular composition. And so mucus is made of proteins and sugars, and there are hundreds of different forms of these proteins and sugars. And so if the molecular composition of, say, my mucus is very rich in those forms that bind the virus, I might cough out a lot more virus than somebody next to me.
Mm.
Just one last question before we let you go, Doctor. If a mother and father are super spreaders, are the kids likely to be super spreaders too? Does it run in families?
That's a good question too. And I don't think we know the answer to that yet, but if genetics do play a strong role, then I would say yes. But also there are these lifestyle factors where what people eat, maybe their age, or another big factor is underlying or other comorbidities, like having, say, cystic fibrosis or cancers or things that might change the quality of your tissues. And so people that have these other diseases may also have these susceptibilities.
All right. All I could think about through the whole conversation is that little green blob that shows up on that commercial on TV representing you. Doctor,
my lab's
fascinating.
Yeah, thanks for your time this morning. That's Dr. Jessica Kramer, University of Utah Biomedical Engineering Assistant Professor, discussing a grant to study how coronavirus transmits through mucus.